All right, so in our passage today, Jesus is helping us to understand our Heavenly Father. And many of you are familiar with the more traditional Lord's Prayer, can be found in Matthew. But this one we're going to come from Luke, and he's got a kind of a truncated version of it that's here in chapter 11. But we're going to pick up right immediately following that, starting with verse 9. And Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks you for an egg, will give him a scorpion? And if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right, so let's take a look at some of our outline here this evening. And let's take a look at some of the lessons that we can learn from this. And number one is that God invites us into his presence. How many of you grew up in a churched family, in a Christian family? Didn't anybody? Okay. And do you remember, did your parents teach you by going to bed at night and kneeling at your bedside and teaching you about prayers and about praying to our Heavenly Father? And this is one thing that as we're thinking about the God as Father, he's even better than our earthly fathers. He is the ideal Father. And the incredible thing is this is really new language for the people at this time, because when Jesus refers to God, he refers to him in Aramaic as Abba. And Abba is really an intimate term. It means more than some kind of distant, remote father, but it gives you the idea of something that's close and intimate. Some of you called your father, Father, and some of you said, Daddy. In Aramaic, when Jesus is using the term Abba, he's teaching them that God is close. He is with you, and the way that we are invited to come into his presence is to call his name, to call on Abba. Now, I remember being in seminary, and we were talking about this kind of thing, and he knew that many of us would be going into smaller churches, or as we did many years ago, we started a church. There was no church. There was no land. There was no anything. And so, in fact, somebody once said, "You don't have a house. You have a fellowship hall," because everything from my office to Bible studies, everything got started out of our small home. And we knew that this was going to be coming up. And so I remember the professor in seminary saying this about his own young son. He said, "There's a story about a young son whose daddy's office was in the house." And so, Dad, if you have an office in the house, I want you to pay attention, listen up, be careful. Because he said there was a rule in the house that you couldn't run. There was no making noise when Daddy was in the office. And when the door was closed, you don't come knocking because Daddy is busy and Daddy is working. Well, many of you could, as a pastor, I understand that. If your office is in the house and you're needing some quiet time, what do? You close the door. But I do remember James Dobson one time saying, "I didn't care who was in the house. My kids knew that if they needed me, they could open that door at any time and come in." And the one with the dad that had the door shut and it was too busy and he was working, his son grew up and he had problems. And he had problems with his concept of God, because sometimes we too closely align God with our earthly parents and say that God must be like this. And that young son got into trouble because he always felt like God was too big. He was too important, and he was too busy. And so he had no relationship with God because he was afraid to knock on the door. And yet, what does Jesus teach us about God? In James, it tells us, you have not because you ask not, or if you ask, you ask with wrong motives. And what he's telling us here is that our God loves us. He is the ideal Heavenly Father. And to everyone who comes to him, who asks, who seeks, who knocks, then the door will be open and they can come in. That's the kind of Heavenly Father that we have, one who invites us into his presence. The second thing is God longs to give us good things. Daddies long to give their children good things. We want to see our children happy, and we want to make sure that they have all the good things. Now, in this passage, Jesus kind of turns the tables on us to help us understand exactly where we are. And as good as we are, we're nowhere good as God, because he said, if your son asks you a fish, you know, you won't give him a snake. You won't give him something that's going to hurt him. You're going to give him what he needs. And if you, as an earthly father, and then I thought it was a bit harsh, he says, to those of you who are evil, like, dang. But if you who are earthly parents know how to give your children good things, then how much more your Heavenly Father longs to give good things to those who ask. Remember, what does the passage say? Seek, ask, knock, and the door will be open. God longs to give us good things. Now, I will have to say that it is more than material things. Many of you remember the song, you know, Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive sports cars. I must make amends. You know, it's like all these things that I see the world that they have, and it's exciting, and I don't have it, and I don't have a way to get it. And so we go to God and say, God, why don't you get me that? Why don't you get me the good things? And God says, you have not because you ask not. And if you have not because you did ask, you ask with the wrong heart and the wrong motives for the wrong things. He longs to give us the really good things. In this passage, he's actually separating us from the things of the world. And so if you're asking for a bigger house or a bigger car or a bigger boat or bigger earthly things, then God says, I can't hear you. Those are not really the things that you need. But he longs to give us good things. And then he goes on to say, for all those who ask will be given the Holy Spirit. As we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for the last few weeks, we've been trying to understand. And God is saying, I want you to grow up. And number three is the secret to provision, to power and wisdom and eternal salvation is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you don't have life. Without the Holy Spirit, you don't have salvation. Without the Holy Spirit, you have no forgiveness of your sins. And so we're putting the pieces together to understand God the Father, who loves us, and through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life on the cross for us. But sometimes we have trouble grasping the Holy Spirit. And God is saying, if you want a relationship with me, if you want to have power in your life, if you want to have the good things, if you want to know what the good things really are, if you want to have the gift of discernment, and if you really want to be with me forever, some of you, you've known people who have lived 80, 90, 100 years, but compared to eternity, it's just a drop in the bucket. So we struggle sometimes when we hear Jesus say, don't worry about what you'll wear. Don't worry about what you'll eat. Don't worry about what kind of house you'll live in. Man, that's just stuff. It's all temporary stuff. But seek the greater things, the things of God that will come through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask, seek, knock, and the door will be opened. I want to ask you this evening, have you done that? Have you really invited the Holy Spirit into your life? Now, some of you don't really know. And so in a few moments, we're going to take time to pray. And you can do that. But let me tell you that whether you understand it or not, whether you know it or not, the Holy Spirit is already active in your life. You're here tonight for a purpose and for a reason. It's because God has drawn you here through the power of your Holy Spirit. And if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, there's only one way that can happen, is the Spirit was leading you into knowledge and to understanding. And yes, even to conviction, to understanding. We need a Savior. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then you have the Holy Spirit already working in your life. But sometimes we know what it's like when it's just a barely spark. It's just, some of us feel like spiritually we're just hanging in there like a candle in the wind. Sometimes we're there, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're blowing this way, sometimes we're blowing this. But if we really want the good things of God, if we really want strength, if we want wisdom, if we want power, if we want the provision, then God is longing to give it to us. Ask, seek, knock. The door will be opened. We will come into a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and He will give us the ultimate gift of all, the gift of the Holy Spirit.